All right. Let's start out with who you are and what you do.
Hi, Dennis. Brad Cleveland. I do consulting, training, LinkedIn courses, quite a bit of workshop facilitation and keynotes in the customer experience and customer service space.
Wow. I feel like you're either the most humble person. You just so undersold yourself. I love this is going to be an authentic conversation. You're a bigger name than most that I have on the podcast. And so thank you for your time. Can you take me back to your origin story? You've been doing this customer experience thing longer than most of us. You've seen more than most of us. When did it all start for you?
Well, thank you. And I'm blushing a little bit. I appreciate the kind words. You know, I would love to say it was a strategic plan. I thought I wanted to be an attorney. I was a history poli-sci major and ended up working in and around some contact centers in my early career, and I loved it. I joined a small consulting firm in those early days, and we would literally be embedded in contact centers. I went to a conference. I met a gentleman by the name of Gordon McPherson Jr., who's 20 years my senior. We ended up writing some articles together, becoming business partners in the International Customer Management Institute, ICMI. Which we're at now, an ICMI event, yeah. He retired in the mid-90s, so I took over as CEO, had the privilege of serving as CEO for many years, and just opened a lot of doors. We were working in various regions around the world with some really great organizations. And I learned so much, and it was just a lot of serendipity. I mean, try to do a good job for 3 hours, the next 3 hours, and see what doors open.
It's funny you say that. When I was driving to the airport on my way here, I was having a conversation with myself about luck. And what a significant role it really actually plays in all of our lives. And my father-in-law used to have this before he passed on. He was very successful, but he had this theory of contrived luck, where if you put in the time and energy and you stay consistent, your probability of hitting luck is greater. Right. So I think a lot of us think of luck as gambling, but really there's a method to it. You've just described some of this methodology. I'm curious, in the beginning, what drew you to want to bring people together and unite a bigger community? I mean, you did this before there was all this language around social media, community building and engagement, but it sounds like you were very pioneering in our industry. Is that fair to say?
Well, I really put that credit on the community itself. We heard this resounding request and eagerness to share ideas, get together with others. So we started out doing seminars back in the late 1980s, and we kept hearing, this is great, what's next? And a conference just seemed to make sense. So we began rolling out conferences. We alternated between DC and Toronto. We worked with an organization in Toronto at the time and felt like that would draw in a broader circle of professionals. We had a client with British Airways, and he helped us launch a conference over in the UK. Australia after that. We just kind of followed the lead. So while I'd love to take credit for pioneering, it really was something we were hearing as we listened to our clients, and they were right. I mean, it's just we're eager to share today. We certainly were back then, and we need each other. We're navigating a lot of change.
I had a podcast at CCW last week with a guy named Lee Kemp, and he really boiled customer experience down to two things. All we have to do is listen and act. Yeah. And it sounds like that's what you did. So you fast forward from there. So that was in the 80s and 90s. What did you do during the 2000s?
The 2000s were a decade of tremendous growth. And again, a bit of dumb luck and being in the right place at the right time. The run-up to the dot-com era, the web browser brought the internet to virtually every person, every business, and there were predictions coming out of the World Economic Forum. I remember hearing interviews from Davos one night. I'm in a hotel listening to some news on TV before working with a client the next day, and the predictions were, if you're in customer service, get out. I mean, it's just not going to have much of a future. And I wasn't, because the internet's going to take over all these things, right? I just wasn't seeing that on the ground with our clients. The early 2000s, with the economic downdraft that happened, a lot of budgets got cut in customer service. We weren't calling it customer experience back then, but broadly budgets were getting cut. And the downdraft was tremendous. The service got so bad. There was one headline story after another about, it's tough out there as a customer right now. So for us, we wouldn't wish that upon anybody, but it was great for those of us who were in this space. Like, let's rethink this and get it right. You know, let's not go with predictions that aren't accurate. Let's see what our workloads really are, what our customers are really saying, and build this out the right way. So the 2000s were a decade of tremendous growth. Social came along. So you can tell a million of your best friends about experiences. That kind of lit a fire under a lot of organizations. The smartphone in 2007, 2008, you know, iPhone, Android changed the world. So a lot of things happened that we had nothing to do with, and really enjoyed the opportunities and new doors they were opening for any organization that wanted to walk through them.
And now here we are today, a new era dawning with artificial intelligence. Generative AI certainly seems to be, it's had a good run for the last year. And I truly believe this is the transformational step we've all been waiting for. There's been a lot leading up to this, but I think we're starting to see a new era. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it feels eerily like some eras that have come along before. And of course, it's new and different in its own way. I mean, AI has been around since the 50s, but I think generative AI is almost like the web browser. It's bringing it to everybody. So it definitely a new era. There are definitely things that we've got to get right to, navigate these changes ahead. They're coming very, very rapidly.
Like, what kind of things do we need to get right?
Well, you bring up generative AI and you use it one time and you're like, I think most of us are like, wow, that is unbelievable. I'm seeing the best uses of AI right now kind of behind the scenes. I really think of chatbots and some of those customer facing tools, and they're getting a lot better. That's all great. The inside the operation processes, we've got a lot of windows open, a lot of desktop tools, a lot of information to grab from this screen and populate those fields over here. And it's a lot of work. And imagine AI helping us pull up the right information at the right time. Just a huge help. So we've got to feed the beast the right way. It's going to pick up all of our bad habits if we don't have good processes, if we don't have good information, if we're not protecting customer information. It will pick up and help us in an amazing way if we're training it in the right way and giving it the right data set. So we've got some things to navigate.
Fair enough. I'm with you on this feeling you get when you really start to use generative AI for the first time. For the first few months, there was times I would get on and start using ChatGPT and just think, is this even legal? Like, are you even allowed to have this much efficiency or extra muchness to your whole program?
Right.
Because it just blows you away. And the irony. So a couple of things I'll just to contextualize our conversation. I feel like I've been tech savvy and I've been in the industry. ChatGPT came out in November. In late December, my little brother, who's a marketer, he says to me, he says, have you been using ChatGPT? And I had tried it and I got on and I asked it a couple of questions and I didn't get anything resounding. So I passed on it and because I'm busy, I got other tech stuff to kind of mess with. And my brother said, are you serious? You're not using it? And I said, well, I tried it. And he said, stop everything you're doing for the rest of the day. Go back and do this. He said, I've been using it for all my work for the last 2 weeks. And my little brother's the kind of guy, if he says that, he means he's been using it.
Yeah.
So I went back and I think I've been using it for all my work ever since. And it's interesting, but you're right about, and I will say, this is why I like being on these podcasts with folks like you. I've heard a lot of conversations on AI, but I hadn't heard anyone say it could pick up our bad habits. And when you're talking about deploying it into a contact center environment, as one example, but could be any business, it definitely will pick up your bad habits. And what I experience, even to this degree, which is I have noticed that the way I talk to GPT, if I'm short-tempered or I'm in a hurry, it's in a hurry too. If I'm thoughtful and I take the time to use emotional words, positive affirmations, that positive affirmation begins to be part of the way it contextualizes what I'm saying, and it gets better. So that's just a small nuance of like a 4,000 character thing. But at a scaled business level, a one bad habit could be very identifiable.
Yeah, can you imagine the way we're routing contacts, the multiple channels, the way we can fiddle with service level and putting calls in hold. I say calls, any kind of contact, and holding patterns, and then when they get through, how we've got everything from post-its on a screen to our knowledge base, which may be very robust or not. Every aspect of handling a customer interaction requires these systems, these processes, and AI is, I have a friend, Scott McCain, who puts it this way: AI, artificial intelligence, is not artificial wisdom. It won't know what our good habits are and what our bad habits are. It will perpetuate 100-fold. What we're doing, and we want to make sure we get it right.
Fair enough. So I guess a lot of people have talked about AI, but we just drifted there because that's the hot take on things. But what's important to you? What do you believe in these days? You've obviously over your career seen a lot of our industry evolve. You've seen a lot of trends. You've undoubtedly had a number of philosophies, I hope, that were true at one point and became untrue at another. But at this time, this era, what's on your mind? What do you believe in?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. I think the customer experience community can sometimes do a disservice to those in customer service when they continue to reinforce and it's true that customer service is not customer experience. You hear that. Customer experience is everything. It's everything a customer hears about it, every touch point, every interaction with our products and services, the products and services themselves, the feeling they have about us, it's everything. But that message can make customers, the great folks in customer service, feel an inch high. Like, well, okay, we're not as big a part of this as we thought. No, you're a huge part of it. So a theme that kind of keeps rattling around with me is let's celebrate the opportunity we have when we're interacting with customers to really pick up insight that can help us improve products and services and processes. Very powerful. Surveys, we're also over-surveyed. We still need surveys, and surveys are important, but there's so many ways to listen to the customer. And in a customer service setting, when we're interacting with them directly, wow, we get insight on where to innovate, where to improve products, what marketing angle is making the most sense, what after sales support really resonates with them or where they're getting confused. I mean, we've got insight into our entire organization. So in that sense, customer service is customer experience if we leverage it into those kind of cross-the-board opportunities. So that's what I'm very excited about right now. And that opportunity has always been there, but I think it's more important than ever today to really leverage those investments in customer service into customer experience improvements.
I love everything you said. So I've been going around the world this year covering, speaking with customer service agents in their homes in all countries, or a lot of different countries in the world. I've gone into the front lines and I've spoken to them. And I will share with you something that's adjacent to what you believe, or maybe a belief is, but maybe it's a beginning epiphany or an evolving sentiment, is when we think about, I talked to somebody yesterday about customer journeys, and they were saying the fundamentals of journey mapping and how important it is to have the customer involved in the process and have the customer at the center of customer centricity. And I've begun to unravel my own belief around that. I'm not certain that the customer is the thing at the center of customer experience. In fact, I feel like there is this hybrid of, at every customer touch point, every part of the journey between a brand and a customer involves a human of, and it maybe not just be the customer service agent, but it's almost like you only have one side of the coin if you're focused entirely on the customer. And there's this relationship. The relationship part of customer experience comes from the humans, the employee experiences, right, along the way. And it's been fascinating to me to try to reconcile the last 5 years of fundamentals we've all been learning and teaching to suddenly uncover this idea that it really, not only is it not entirely about the customer, the customer's attention to you is like minuscule. Like they want to buy a cheeseburger from you, and after they get the cheeseburger and consume it, you're not on the customer's radar anymore, but you're still on the employee's radar for the next customer. How do you respond to some of these sort of random thoughts I'm throwing at you?
Yeah, you know, they're right on. And I use the term internally customer, internal customer. With inside an organization, so many functional areas don't see their connection with customers. You know, I'm in an, yes, operations area, or I've got a part of the HR piece, or, yes, or finance or marketing, or I'm out in the warehouse. I'm not directly interacting with customers, but I've got internal customers, and how well I'm getting their support and how well I'm supporting them is all rolls up ultimately to the kind of service that we have out in the customer, the traditional sense of the word, customer space. So I agree with you, Dennis. The employee experience is huge. And in the contact center, a customer, just use a contact center as an example, a customer will have a bad experience and it's no fun for an interaction or two if they have to follow up. The employees are experiencing that one after another all day and every day. So you're exactly right. I really see employee engagement and experience as the enabler for what we always talk about in terms of customer experience.
Let's go down that path a little further. So I on MarTech Vibe, I published an article this week called The Invisible Thread, and it's the mental health of your customer service teams and agents. And then this morning, I did a podcast, a video podcast before I left the hotel with a woman in Tel Aviv. She and her founding, their two founders, they've dedicated their total lives now to creating an app and services based around mental health and well-being of agents. So they're at the core of their belief or their insight is that personal growth equals corporate growth. It's so much of what we're focused on is the technology tools, AI, but how does personal growth, the well-being of a human, how do you work that into your philosophies or?
Yeah, it's a great question. The technologies and tools and processes are all designed by and improved by our team, right? And so it all goes back to the human potential that we have in our team and what's going to, you know, how well we're going to navigate these changes ahead. The surveys are saying, especially with the younger generations, I believe it applies to all of us, any generation, is we want growth. We want to grow. We want to develop, you know, things like pay or even further down the list. And that doesn't say pay them less. It does say make sure you're developing them and opening up opportunities for them to grow. Flexibility is another one that's high on the list. So the human potential, the human growth potential in our organizations is directly connected to everything we're trying to do when we talk about customer experience.
I feel so suddenly relieved that you agree with some of my beliefs. So what are you working on now?
I'm having fun with an update to a book that came out a couple of years ago called Leading the Customer Experience. And the reason behind that initial book a couple of years ago was the communication across silos. Just somehow something's getting lost in translation with customer experience. You know, how do we lay it out so everybody knows they're a part of it? It's not a customer experience team or quote unquote project. We can and should have a team, but they should be facilitating engagement from across the organization. It is a team sport and everybody's on that team. So I'm having fun working on some updates there just around all the things that have developed since then. I've got some...
Look, before you move on, when's that book coming out?
We think late 2024.
A year from now.
24, yeah. So we're kind of in the... kind of on deadline. That might bump into early 2025. We're still firming that up.
And when did you publish the first iteration of this book?
So the 2021 on that one, I've got another book out there that's specific to contact centers, contact center management on Fast Forward. That first edition came out in 1997. And so I'm also working on an update to that.
The reason I ask is the 2021 version, I might pick that up, but I might wait for the update. I'm not sure, but I talked to a lot of people about their books, their projects, blah, blah, blah. But I will say the one book I would want to read is this book. Somebody offered me a book this morning, and I was like, I'm good. But your book, the breaking down or crossing or bridging these silos, all that. So that is the most fascinating topic of implementing. So when I implement, so I do consulting also. I have a couple Fortune 100 brands that I consult new customer experience with. I've done the strategy on customer experience strategy for AT&T, Wells Fargo, McDonald's. So I've seen a lot of different things. And the thing that when I'm philosophizing or following the ethos of customer experience, but when I have to actually do the work, the one thing is just what you said. It's like these teams have to work together. And I will say that what's interesting about the silos and bridging them or creating collaboration, buzzword, 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 is teamwork is not a financial investment. So, you know, the organization, if you have a CEO says, where's the one place I should invest in customer experience first? I would say it doesn't cost you anything. It's the teamwork. But these are, how do you respond to what I just said?
Well, I agree 100%. And it's not only not a cost. I mean, there's fair, some involvement fair, in putting yes. a team together, but it's not only not a huge cost. There's a return there. You see engagement tick up. You see turnover go down, and we're hanging on to our best employees who sense that this is a place I want to hang my hat. We're doing some cool things. I'm going to learn here. I'm going to grow here. Turnover is one of the least understood and least quantified, least valued costs that we have. If someone were to walk into an organization, walk out with computers, we'd know it. We'd put a stop to it. We track it. What about a human walking, a great employee walking out the door? That's a huge loss. So I agree 100%. And there's an ROI to that most organizations haven't put a pencil to.
What will I learn if I go get your book and I read it? Like, give me some of the key tease me with some of these takeaways.
Well, our hope is, we start with what is customer experience, and it has to involve everyone. It's not a project. It's not just voice of the customer and some of the niche-y parts of it. It is truly everything, and everyone's involved. So that's chapter one. And then it just goes through a progression of, what is the role of each of these areas, and how do they all roll up to create a better experience? So employee engagement, we definitely need voice of the customer. That's a chapter, but it needs to be a broad net of listening, not just surveys, but every kind of interaction and touch point that we can learn from. So that's a chapter. Customer service is a chapter. We have a chapter on storytelling, journey maps and other ways to depict the customer's journey through our organization. And it's 10 chapters. Chapter 10 is looking ahead in leadership, and there's a chapter in there on innovation. So it's really, our attempt to corral everybody into this idea that we're all in this together, and great things happen when we treat it like a team sport.
I'm convinced. Okay. I will donate some time to when you get the first draft out, I'll take a look at it. And no,
I'd be grateful,
but thank you so much for sharing that. I wish I could talk to you forever on a podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to share before I get to my very last question?
Well, I want to thank you. I enjoy your video updates and the work you're doing with this sort of thing. Just get these ideas out there and help create this community that is this professional network that's so important to all of us. So thank you. And that would be a thought, that we are a community. We need each other. There's bumps in the road, and there's successes, and there's things we can learn from each other. And I'd say to anyone listening, you don't have to go this alone. Don't try. There's so many professionals who are eager to share their stories, and that they're eager to learn from you.
Wow. Okay, last question. Well, I like to end every podcast with this, which is, please say your name again and what you believe in.
Yeah, Brad Cleveland. I'm going to give you two things, if that's all right. The potential of our operations, our customer service, our warehouse, our, every part of our organization to listen and learn and serve internal customers and work together is huge. It's never been more exciting to be involved in customer experience, and we all are. So that'd be one thought. The other thought is a personal mantra that I've had for years, and it kind of came about when I was doing a keynote for a conference overseas in Europe, and the plane in was late the night before. I was jet lagged. I think I got all of 2 hours sleep. Early morning with the time zone change, and I'm trying to get out of my head with this. Like I'm on in a couple of hours here. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep, and just the thought came: you're here to serve. This is not about you, and it doesn't matter. with all the love and all the intent that you have to help do that. You're here to serve. And I actually wrote that on a piece of hotel cardstock. You are here to serve. And I've carried it around to this day. And when I remember that, it's about those around me, not about me, not about, and any of us can say that in our roles, right? It's ultimately about a bigger thing than what we're immediately involved in. That's served me well.
Brad, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Dennis. Thank you so much for the invite.